when she saw Jan on Friday, I haven't seen her for 2 weeks, she comes running in, yelling, screaming, and then her cousin Carter, he just comes in. Don't say a thing, no reaction. Different personalities. My mom told me that in first grade, when I was in first grade, the school wanted me to have speech classes. My sister was 2 years older than me, so she come home laughing. They want Dave to do speech classes. They can't get a word out of him. He don't talk. So, okay, Numbers 35 is that's a long chapter. And it deals with murder, manslaughter, first-degree murder, second-degree murder, and all the stipulations that goes along with it. And then it deals with what are known as the cities of refuge. So those are six different cities, three on the east side of Jordan, three on the west side of Jordan. Okay, and it involves with the death of an individual. And so, and then they had investigated, is it manslaughter? Is it accidental death? Is it first-degree murder? Is it second-degree? And so the party that is involved runs to the city of refuge, and that gives them time to investigate. It gives time for cooler heads. And so in this process, the one who was supposed to execute the death sentence was the next of kin of the one they murdered. And so that makes perfect sense. And so this covers all these bases. And so we'll come down through it and then see, you know, the Judeo-Christian ethics that we have in our country, which are a good thing. So 35:1, the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites the inheritance of their possession, cities to dwell in. And ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for their beasts. So this is the inheritance of the Levites. Okay, so you have that, and then you have a wall. Okay, a wall around the cities. Why do they got to have walls around the cities? Okay, marauders, but how big were the walls? Huge. Why? Giants. And you know, this didn't dawn on to me probably until about a year ago, 6 months, a year ago, about Abraham's faith. His faith was meandering through those places, and those marauders, those giants, could have taken him out any time. And that's why he trained his workers, his employees, in armed combat, 318. And then they went after, remember, they went after the five armies, that the one that kidnaps Lot, or took him in battle. And they went after him and won, but a couple of those kings were giants, and that's why they had the large walls to keep the giants, try to keep the giants out. And when I say giants, I'm talking, Goliath was a small giant. So we're talking 20,000 or 20 feet tall. Okay, remember that one guy, he had a king-sized bed, 13 cubits. Who needs a bed that big? So, yeah, there were. Now, if you get on Mud Fossil University on YouTube, he believes giants were even taller than that. But, I don't know. But still, and so that shows Abraham's faith. So in Genesis 14, he took care of his defense. And in Genesis 15, the Lord said, I'm going to be your shield. And so that's where his faith, the Lord protected, as he's meandering through, as the Lord had him be a stranger. And so that's a really thing about Goliath. And the reason why the offer was about sacrificing Isaac is because that was the norm for those giants. That was the norm. And a lot of times this stuff is given away in fairy tales. Jack and a Beanstalk. Fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive, be he dead, I will break his bones in my bread. That's giants eating people. And so, yeah, that's scripture that's in there, but who talks about that? That's weird stuff. So you got the walls around there, verse 4, verse 5. Six. Among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be six cities for refuge. Okay, so this is a place the offender or the possible offender runs to live in there until there's an investigation, until there's a trial, and until he's either found guilty or he's acquitted. And so that's the six cities of refuge. It was to protect against accidental death, because often people react too quickly, okay? And the reason why the wheels of justice need to take a long time is because you need to get all the evidence out there. And there's a saying that you're innocent until proven guilty, but that's not the right wording, because the word until implies guilt. You're innocent unless proven guilty. That's a big difference. And wording means a lot. So these six cities, there's three on the Jordan side, three on the other side, which only had 2.5 tribes. So these cities of refuge, and ye shall appoint for the manslayer that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites, now this is the inheritance to the Levites, are 48 cities, but six of them are the cities of refuge. And this is some of the principles we have in litigation in our country. Okay, then verse 9, now he deals with the issue at hand. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come over Jordan in the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint your cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person at unawares. Okay, and they shall be unto your cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. Okay, so this is a court setting. Our country, we have become accustomed to the actually doing it in court, juries, and all that stuff, when in actuality, the Constitution delegated that to the state, but that doesn't mean we, the people, have given up that delegation, because we can arrange our own juries if it's done right, and we have done that here, but it's been a long time. Okay, so then it says in 13, and these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye be for refuge. 14, ye shall give three cities on this side, Jordan, three cities on the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. Okay, let's see, 16, here's where he gets into the idea, and if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Okay, so there he's got that. Verse 17, and if he smite him with a throwing stone, so like a sling that David had, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with a hand weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. That's usually the next of kin. Okay, when he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But, okay, so here's the exceptions. But if he thrust him of hatred and hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. So that's the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. Okay, and then, but if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith he may die, seeing him not, cast upon him that he die. And he was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then the congregation judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. Okay, so there he's getting the details. And when you get in court stuff, words mean things. Okay, and so a person has to, what the trick in law is, and if you don't have to do law, fine, great, amen, thank God for that. They use English words, but they have different definitions. And we, the commoner, goes in with our English words, the common street words definition, and it's different in there. The adventures in legal land. It's a different terminology, and lawyers do that to keep the secrets. So Americans don't really know this. Okay, I have one piece of paper, that has six law cases in there. And if anybody hires an attorney, I've always heard the same thing every time. They won't do what I tell them to do. Why? They don't have to. Okay, the lawyer takes an oath. His oath is to the court first. His client second. If he has to hang his client for the court, he is required to. No man can serve two masters. Okay, and I've got, it's a one-page document I can give out, and it's one court case after another. Okay, and if a person reads that, they would say, why would I ever hire an attorney? Okay, and that's a decision people have to make. So there's a lot to it, and it's a scary thing going in court when you're going in by yourself. That really honks them off. They really are upset with that. And you're not only against the judge, you're against the bailiff, you're against the clerk, you're against the secretary in the judge's chamber, you're against every single one of them, you're against every single judge in the country, because they will get online and say, has anybody dealt with this? And so you're dealing with all of them. They got their big thing is they got to retain that honor that you don't come in this courtroom without an attorney. And so there's funny little ways about it, and it can be entertaining, but it can be very stressful, especially when we're the when we are not the professionals. So, yeah, that's, and I could tell about my experiences, but who cares? Okay, and so that's 424. The congregation should judge between a slayer. In our culture, that would be a jury of your peers. Okay, that's somebody that's in your street, in your community, a jury of your peers. So then 25, and the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. The congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled. And he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. So there's certain regulations that they have. Okay. And then you got accidental death and stuff like that. Okay, the bleeding hearts that go against capital punishment, okay, they probably would have a different attitude if their loved one was killed. Okay, and there's a story of a young lady in California where she was raped. The rapist cut her arms off, both arms, figuring she's going to die. She survived the attack, recovered. They arrested the rapist, put him in jail. He served like 5 years. And when he gets out, she feared for her life that he's going to come and do it again. Should have been executed. And we common folks have ways that we would like to do it. Okay, and so that's that. Okay, now, verse 30. Who killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person who caused him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer which is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death. Okay, so here's what these people do, okay? They'll go to the Ten Commandments, and of course we all know one of the Ten Commandments says thou shalt not kill. Okay, and so then they say, see, the state is killing by the death sentence. Now you may not know what's right, but you certainly can know what's wrong when the Lord said thou shalt not kill, and then when you read Numbers 35 where he says they shall surely be put to death, obviously, thou shalt not kill is not to be interpreted, to be killing an animal or things like that, or the death sentence or war. So you may not know what the answer is, but you know what the answer is not. Thou shalt not kill is not limited, okay, to killing an animal. The animal rights activists say, thou shalt not kill. Okay, we saw some there in Brussels. They had a little laptop killing animals, you know, and all that stuff. And so they're taking that. Now, a person, all he has to do is, a lot of people will see a statement in the Bible and they do not study it through all the way to get what the Bible's saying. And so, thou shalt not kill. Okay, the animal rights activists, in their hypocrisy, will say that that is referring to not just killing a man, but killing an animal. And then they'll say, well, the Bible authorized this, the Bible's not a thing. But all you have to do is, you go to Proverbs 12, verse 10. So we're not talking about abusing animals, because Proverbs 12, 10 says the righteous considereth the life of his beast. Okay, so the Bible says we got to take care of our animals. But he did say, didn't he not say to Peter when he brought that all them unclean food down? He says, rise, kill and eat. Okay, and so there's that. And so the death or the capital punishment, we have examples in the Bible. Okay, so the alleged killer runs to the city of refuge, okay, and then they have a trial. But you remember the story of Joab and Abner. They were jockeying for the military position, and Abner was kind of walking into a city of refuge, and Joab said, "Hey, I got to talk to you." And he killed him before he walked into the city of refuge. So that means Joab murdered. It wasn't an act of war. And then when Solomon becomes king, if you remember that story, David warned him about this guy and this guy and this guy. And he said, don't let Joab live out his life to the end. And then Joab went into the Jewish sanctuary and grabbed under the horns of the altar. Okay, that's the altar in front, and that what that was designed to do is that you can't kill them. We have that custom here also that people don't know about, is that if you're a fugitive of law, you go into a church, and the authorities cannot come in and get you, or at least they're not supposed to. It's called the right of sanctuary. This is what many of the Nazi war criminals did after World War II, is they ran to the Vatican, and the Vatican is a nation and a church, and then the Vatican waited for everything to blow over, and then some went down to Australia. Where'd most of them go to? Argentina. Even to the point down in Argentina, they eventually found one of them down there and then brought him to Nuremberg, and there's some evidence that Adolf Hitler lived his life out in Argentina. Okay, and so that seems to be very suspicious. And Argentina had a very strong Nazi influence, as Ukraine today. In Ukraine, the media is, trying to, get the pervert a bunch of money. Zelensky, that guy's a pervert. when they are loaded with neo-Nazis, and that's who Putin's going after, the neo-Nazis and child traffickers. But, you know, who's going to believe that story? Okay, but Joab, okay, when he's grabbing under the horns of the altar, he's admitting guilt in his event, and Solomon said, go kill him on the spot. The death sentence. And so that's some of the regulations. Now, we have, okay, how many of you ever heard when people talk about Moses, they say Moses murdered that Egyptian. How many of you ever heard that? I don't buy that. He killed him, but it wasn't murder. It didn't meet the criteria of Numbers 35. He was a military man. He knew how to kill somebody, but he just beat the snot out of the guy. And the Bible doesn't call him a murderer. Okay, now, and so, but still the idea, according to Numbers 35, yeah, he killed a guy. Okay, now we have one advantage over the Old Testament is you go to Matthew 19:18, Jesus Christ gives an advanced revelation, thou shalt not kill. He said, thou shalt do no murder. So that's our advanced revelation for the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they didn't have that one, make it so easy, but still, all you had to do is just read Numbers 35. And then read about Joab and read some of those things. Then you say, okay, thou shalt not kill. That's not, you know, that's not a shallow way of studying the Bible. And so obviously he's talking about murder when he says thou shalt not kill. And the Lord verified that. Okay, and so in Numbers 35, when innocent blood isn't cleansed by the death of the murderer, then that is pollution in the land. So what's crying out? Verse 33. This is one of those verses. It's like a vital organ in our body. He said in 35:33, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. What about all the abortions in our country? Okay, and what about the land that you're living on, your house, the property you're living on? We don't know the history. Was there somebody innocently murdered on our property? I mean, you know, all that stuff. We don't know. So is that ground, is there blood still crying out? Now, Bill Snevlin talks about a fella that claims he had the ability to hear the cries of the innocent blood, where he took upon himself the ministry of traveling around the world, and when he would hear these cries, he would pray in that area and ask God to cleanse that area. I don't know if he had the ability. I have no idea. I'm just telling you his story. And maybe he did. I don't know. I've never heard that myself. Well, this gentleman was in the UK, and he heard children crying out in this area, and he couldn't figure it out. He started asking the community, what's about that place up in that area? Something's going on up in that area. And the community said years ago, that's where children were sacrificed. So he was hearing that. And so, and then he prayed over that. Okay, and so what that does for us, okay, we buy a house. And can a house have haunted spirits on it? Yes. Can they have strongholds? Yes. Okay, and so we have a wonderful advantage in the New Testament of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I've walked this property several times. I've walked Rensselaer's property several times. I've walked ours. And I've just asked the Lord to cover this property with the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse it from anything that's happened in the past. And so then you have that liberty. And so, but yeah, who talks about spiritual warfare these days? Sadly, very few do. Okay, again, on this, we know that this is not dealing with war, because the Lord honored David for killing Goliath and then all the wars and battles that they have. But in the early days of America history, because of the Christian influence, they often had discussions, what is a just war? When is war sanctioned by God? For during a civil war, you had the North praying to God and the South praying to God. So who's God going to listen to? So, and the conclusion that these Christians came up to is that war, the proper war or a just war, is self-defense. And that's why our military is called the Department of Defense. But then when you have the neocons like George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld doing what they've done, and then all the others have done what they've done, okay, and people often will blame the American people for those wars, but it's not the American people who's at fault. It's the ones at the top making those decisions. In Australia, you know, through the years, we've had people say to us, well, I don't agree with your country, what you've done, what's going on. And it was usually maybe about the war in Iraq. And I'll look at them and say, well, I agree with you. It's not my choice. You know, that's somebody else making those decisions. You know, and so what is a just war? It's self-defense. So what actually is war? What are most wars caused by? It's found very simply in James chapter 4. What is really annoying about war and politicians is that the politicians use good men, soldiers, for their battles when they're the ones that cause them, they're the ones pushing for it. And then these men come home, men and women come home, and they're abused by people. And it's just, and the politicians do nothing to help them. I mean, it's just, I think a good addition to the Constitution is whatever congressman voted for war. In our country, it's supposed to be Congress that declares it. Whichever one does vote to declare it, they should have a child or next of kin be in the front lines. I mean, that would be a requirement. Why? The principle of that is David. What did David do wrong? He went to battle and stayed home. He got in trouble with Bathsheba. That cut this stuff out. Okay, but again, it's on their head. James 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. So what causes war? It's the lust of whoever's in charge. It's very simple. Okay, and so what is actually a war when it's a just war is, okay, in Gaza, this is a weird situation going on there. Usually when at war, what do gas prices do? What have they done this time, though? Something's weird. Okay, but how can you, instead of bombing an entire country, going after an entire country, why not go after the criminals? Okay, and so whoever did that, if it's a false flag, I have no idea. Whoever did that, all they have to do is send leaflets to the country and said, we want the criminals. If you don't send the criminals out, we're coming after all of you. And then hopefully those people get together and throw the criminals and go after them. Okay, is that illustrated in the Bible? It is. Remember good old Jezebel? The one guy, Jehu. Boy, Jehu, he had some real techniques, didn't he? Man, that guy had some techniques. get all the Babylonians in here. You know, I'm a worshiper of Baal, just like, the Baalites. I'm a worshiper of Baal. Get them all here. We're going to have a great celebration for Baal. And then he's got his soldiers. If anybody gets loose, you're dead. And then they wipe them all out. I mean, that's, I kind of like the technique. But Jehu, he fulfilled. Elijah said that Jezebel is going to be et by the dogs and all that stuff. And everybody I've heard the sentence, her and Ahab are going to be dead. And Jehu was the guy that God chose to do it. And do you remember when he got anointed to do that? That was so funny. One of the prophets, a young prophet, God said, you're going to go anoint this guy. And so the older prophet said, okay, go in there, anoint him. And then when you're done, get out of town. So he goes in there to Jehu, anoints him, and then as soon as he got done, he took off running. And then he said to Jehu, who was that crazy guy that just came in here? Well, Jehu's coming after Jezebel. She's holed up in, maybe NORAD or something like that. And the guy said, who's on the Lord's side? And a servant, a black guy, looks over and says, I is. He says, throw her down. So that guy saved that whole city because they gave the criminal over. And that's how you fix that stuff. War is just another form of a death sentence of a murderer. And so the Bible is a fascinating book. It just has all the answers to all these things. If people just read them, and it would be such a blessing. That would be 2 Kings 9. 2 Kings 9. At the end of the chapter, that's about Jezebel. You ever hear somebody where they just take a bunch of Bible stories and put them together? And they say, and he says, throw her down. And he slung her down 70 times 7. And they picked up the fragments thereof and filled 12 baskets full. And all that stuff. It's kind of funny how they say that. Okay, but in 2 Kings 9, you can read that verse 27 and following. Actually, 30 and following. Jezebel's first one in the Bible mentioned she painted her face. So, but even at that, there it is right there. And that's where we have the common saying, she went to the dogs. Or they're strictly for the birds. Either one is fine. Ahab and Jezebel. And then Jezebel shows up again in Revelation. Or at least her spirit. It's a Jezebel spirit. So, but again, for our country, what I do believe that we can do is we beg God for mercy. Of all the children in abortions, all the children trafficking. Okay, if anybody saw Caviezel's show, I haven't seen it. Anybody see that? Caviezel's on child trafficking. Did you see it? What's the title? Sound of Freedom. They had to tame it down. Because people would be shocked if they knew what really happened. And so, they had to tame that down. And, of course, how much do you do? I mean, when you read of what Joseph Mengele did to children in the Holocaust, twins, what he did to children. If you read about the rape of Nanking, the Japanese, what they did to the Chinese people hate them Japanese. Why? Because the Japanese would take Chinese people and put them around in a circle where they had about 30 of them. Then they'd put a grenade and set it off. And then they would look, oh, okay, look at this one, and then this one, and this one. And then they would work on them, and they'd keep all the records. And guess who paid for those records? The United States. And guess who brought a lot of those Nazi officers, the United States, Operation Paperclip. And guess one of those officers became head of NASA. Yeah, there's so much dark stuff behind the scenes. But we common people, we don't, we're not People say, well, if you voted for that president, you're responsible. No, we're not. Besides, those elections have been rigged for years. I mean, it's been going on for years. But we can pray. We can pray for our country. And I don't believe we have a right to demand God to bless America, but I do believe we have a right to ask God to forgive America and have mercy. And I do believe that there are enough Bible believers still doing that, or else we'd be gone. So Numbers 35 and then 36 is kind of wraps up some things. But blood pollution, blood pollution, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. May God have mercy. And I'm kind of thinking that was a question that was asked this morning. What about those criminals that kill somebody and don't get judged here on earth? What about their victims? And that's a good question. What about kids that die with that? What about that? Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, of such is the kingdom of heaven. I think those kids raised from the dead live out their lives in a millennial time period. They have a choice to accept or reject Christ. And those criminals, they're going to face it at the white throne. That's where everything is set, at the white throne judgment. So, yeah, that's a question. What about, you know, those people that have things? And what about parents that have a handicapped child that's never going to be able to attain knowledge for salvation? I think those children, Mike Pearl teaches this. He's about the only one that I've heard teach this. I think those children will be raised in a millennial time period. And then mom and dad, he'll have perfect parents. Get to raise their own kids during the millennial time period. And the Lord said that, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And that's what he's referring to. So, okay, we'll stop there. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. Thank you for the great promises. Thank you that the white throne is going to be the place where everything is said and done. And it's going to be, wow, it's going to be quite a thing. And I do pray that you would have mercy. You would have mercy in our country. And Lord, I pray that you'd cleanse each of our homes with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And we've not laid our hands on innocent blood. And of course, the Jewish people, when they said at Calvary, let his blood be upon us and our children, boy, did they say a mouthful. And that's why, that's part of that Holocaust thing. It's part of that. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to, Lord, please have mercy in our country. In Jesus' name, amen.